Welcome to this special edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast, an interview with Dwayne Sparks, author of Sales Strategy from the Inside Out, How Complex Selling Really Works. Hi, I'm Nathan Ives, and I would like to welcome you to this special edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast, an interview with Dwayne Sparks, author of Sales Strategy from the Inside Out, How Complex Selling Really Works. The Strategy Driven Podcast focuses on the tools and techniques executives and managers can use to improve their organization's alignment and accountability to ultimately achieve superior results. These podcasts elaborate on the best practice and warning flag articles found on the Strategy Driven website at www.strategydriven.com. In this special edition podcast, Dwayne Sparks, chairman and founder of the Sales Board, shares with us his insights on action selling, a method for establishing and building business relationships, enabling sales professionals to better engage their clients and understand and meet their clients' needs, resulting in greater client value and increased sales. So now, without any further delay, let's get started. We are privileged to be joined by Dwayne Sparks, author of Action Selling and his most recent book, Sales Strategy from the Inside Out, How Complex Selling Really Works, and chairman and founder of the Sales Board, an organization of sales management and training professionals who teach the critical selling skills that have the greatest impact on gaining customer commitment. For over a decade, Dwayne and his organization have trained sales professionals in the use of his unique action selling method, certifying over 300,000 salespeople in more than 2,500 organizations. These individuals and their companies have subsequently realized a dramatic increase in sales, resulting in 6 times the revenue increase of similar firms. Dwayne, welcome to the Strategy Driven Podcast.
Thank you, Nathan. Wonderful to be here.
I have been excited to have you as part of the show. You know, selling to me has always kind of been something that was in the realm of very outgoing people that kind of did things by the seat of their pants. And your books really taught me that sales is no such thing. It's a profession and there's a process to it. And so I've just been really looking forward to being able to talk to you about it.
Well, thank you, Nathan.
Well, Dwayne, to start with, I first wanted to share with our audience a little bit of research. And you mentioned this in your book. And it's that the buying decision is really comprised of a 5-step process, or maybe put another way, 5 individual purchasing decisions that are all made in an exact series every time. And so to ultimately achieve a sale, the salesperson is going to have to help the decision maker reach a positive conclusion for each of these 5 purchase decisions in order. I was wondering if you could describe for us what those 5 sales decisions are.
Nathan, the 5 buying decisions that customers make, I'll give you a little history on how they came about. I didn't invent this concept. In fact, it goes way back to the early 1900s when certain writers began to really think about what does it take to improve the performance of a sales force. And, you know, we didn't have sales forces until after the Industrial Revolution. And when we started producing products in mass, we decided that then we have to go out and create some demand for these products that we've produced, and we need to use people in order to do that. So the idea of improving the performance of the sales force, you know, it's not new. the original authors of the buying decisions, or understanding how people made their buying decisions, identified several smaller decisions that led to the larger decision of who to buy from and what to buy and that kind of thing.
Okay.
So I'm not the first one to think about this, but I kind of synthesize it into five sequential steps that when these steps are made in the right order, the buying decision of who to buy from is more clear. First thing that buyers evaluate is the salesperson. Do they trust that person? Do they like that person? Is this the kind of person that I want to do business with?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a critical decision. When that decision is made in favor of the salesperson, the rest of the buying decisions go a lot easier. If it's not made in favor of that salesperson, the rest of the buying decisions are very difficult for that salesperson to influence. So the first buying decision, the salesperson.
Mm-hmm.
Second buying decision is the company that salesperson represents. Does that company have policies that are favorable to me? Is it the kind of company that I like to deal with? Are they credible? Are they reliable? Are they financially stable? The third decision is about the product and how does that meet the needs that I have. The fourth decision is the price or the value of that product. And the fifth decision that customers make is the time to buy. When should I make a move? When should I place the order? When should I make a decision to buy? Now, these five decisions occur in every major purchase. And
okay.
The key of the whole thing is when we help customer make them in the proper sequence, we win far more often than if we get them out of sequence.
Okay.
So customers want to do this in that sequence, and it's our job as salespeople to help them make them in the proper order.
Okay. All right. Well, and Dwayne, that speaks to me then, or is very reflective of many of the premises in your book, or actually all the premises in your book, and I mentioned before that you refer to sales as a profession, but you go a step further and you say that it's a profession that's defined by certain rules, that it has these recognizable patterns, and then a body of knowledge that can be taught and then proactively used to generate very predictable results. Would you describe for our listeners what the action selling method is and then highlight how it's different than kind of, I'll call it the typical process used by salespeople?
Okay. The action selling process is founded in the idea that when we as a salesperson use a sales process matches up with the buying decisions that customers make. So we have this vision of the salesperson, customer, walking arm in arm together towards a sale.
Mm-hmm.
Sell in a way that people want to buy, and that's the first thing that we want to do. And we also sell in a way that allows our products to come clearly defined as solutions to customers' needs. So we do a lot of work prior to making a presentation, understand the unique challenges that the customer is facing. And then when we present our product, we present it only in terms of what those needs are and what those challenges are. And it becomes then a solution to the customer situation. So action selling is unique in a couple ways in that it matches the buying decisions that are made while it's doing this consultative selling process. So that way it's totally unique and it makes complete logical sense to everybody that learns it. I think the other thing that I'd like to point out is that because it's a process, a lot of folks that think logically and sequentially and, technical-oriented types of people, they have a hard time understanding sales work in most cases, but with action selling, it makes sense to because it's put into a process. And when selling becomes a process, a lot of the problems with it go away.
Okay.
follow it consistently, and use it over and over, and become better and better at it. So it's a procedure-oriented system for selling that matches the way customers like to buy.
Okay. All right. And, Dwayne, it also struck me that within the method that is the action selling process, that the most important tool to use to gain that understanding of what the customer needs were and what they were looking for, whether it's in the product, the person, the company, was the use of questions. And I was wondering if you could describe for us what some of the common characteristics of good sales questions are, but then if you wouldn't mind taking it one step further and talk about how a salesperson goes about developing the best sales questions.
In my opinion, the question is the most important sales tool that salespeople have available to them today.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you a quick story. In 2007, first 2007, we had a tragedy here. I'm in Minnesota, by the way.
Okay.
The 35W bridge that goes over the Mississippi River near town Minneapolis collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a tragedy. I mean, people were killed, and it was just horrifying because a lot of us traveled that bridge often, and just thought of it collapsing underneath us is just, it's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Minnesota Department of Transportation decided very quick that obviously we need to rebuild that, and we need to go out for bid and find a supplier that can replace that bridge in a high-quality way. Several competitors competed for this opportunity, but the business was won by a company out of Colorado that had never built a bridge in the state of Minnesota, and in fact bid more, their price was higher, and their delivery time was longer than other bidders. Of course, these other bidders, they cried foul and said, wait a minute now, the state of Minnesota, the taxpayers of our state need a better deal than that.
And yeah.
We need it.
Yeah.
I think part of that story is that the Department of Transportation came back and said, well, price and delivery weren't our only criteria. We had eight other factors that we were considering.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. The aesthetics of the bridge. The PR around building of the new bridge, the design of the bridge. So there are several other factors besides price and delivery. Well,
mm-hmm.
those same contractors that lost cried foul. In fact, filed a lawsuit against the Department of Transportation saying, you didn't tell us that. Well, Department of Transportation came back and said, you know what? You didn't act. The other company did. And that proposal fit all of our needs, just two of them. They fit all 10 of them.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I tell that story is the company out of Colorado asked a few more questions than the other bidders did in a selling situation. And because of that, had a clearer understanding of what the Department of Transportation needs were.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they bid more money, and it took them, well, they bid a longer time to deliver the end product, they still won, and they won by a landslide.
Wow.
The reason they did is because they asked more questions. They asked better questions. They had a better understanding of the needs of the Department of Transportation.
Sure.
How often does this happen in selling situations? All the time.
Mm-hmm.
One salesperson ask better questions, understand the deepest needs that a customer might have, and provides a solution that fills all of those needs instead of just the surface need. So I believe that salespeople that ask the best questions win consistently
mm-hmm.
than any other salesperson. It is the number one tool available to a salesperson. So we teach in our courses and in our books a couple of key things that help us to get the best questions. Number one, there's a certain type of questions that's better than the others, and that's called an open-ended question.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you know what they are because you asked very good open-ended questions. I'll tell you another quick story. We have a lot of high-profile trials and legal cases that go on in our country.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw an interview on TV, one of these news shows, that interviewed a lawyer that was highly skilled and highly sought after for jury selection. And he paid enormous fees to get involved in a high-profile case. You know, she was getting like $100,000 to get involved in a key case. And all she did was she came in and helped the legal team select jurors.
Mm-hmm.
The interviewer asked her, what do you have that other lawyers don't have? And she said, well, I am capable of asking better questions than other lawyers when it comes to understanding what kind of people we are putting on the jury. Well, what type of questions is that? And she said, well, they're open-ended questions. Well, give me an example. She said, well, in the old case, I asked, instead of asking a question of a juror, are you prejudiced? I asked the question, when was the last time you experienced prejudice? She said, because of that, we were able to uncover more information about that person so we could make a better decision on whether or not that person would be right for this jury.
Sure.
And holy cow, she got $200,000 for doing that. Well, it's a talent, and it's a talent that salespeople need to have as well. They need to ask the right type of questions. In addition to that, we have a map that we provide salespeople. We call it the Best Questions Map. And on that map, we help them understand all of the categories of questions that need to be asked. I'll give you an example. Obviously, needs questions, understanding the needs of the customer. Issues questions, understanding the company issues that might exist. Or the money issues that exist, the budget kinds of questions.
Yes.
Help them understand that the key category is understanding your competition. So understanding who you're competing with and where do you stand and what they like or dislike about the competitive product. Time frame. When will decisions be made? When will the implementation or the product need to be received? And one of the most important categories is buying influence questions, understanding who makes the decision, who gets involved, veto, who has the budget for this. So we provide them not only with the right kind of question, but the right categories of questions, and then we help them develop specific questions for their situations that they run into. Questions is huge. It's probably the most important skill and the most important tool that the salesperson has available to them.
Yeah, it really struck me that the sale can be won or lost starting with the questions a person asks.
It's what you ask that makes the biggest difference selling today.
Okay. Well, Duane, as professional salespeople, we always want to help out our clients, and we want them to have the best solution that fulfills their needs. As you talk with sales executives these days, what's the most important or most frequently heard need that they are reflecting back to you when it comes to sales development?
Great question, Nathan. I hear a couple things pretty consistently. I have an opportunity to talk to a lot of sales leaders. I have a sales force in my company that talks with sales leaders, and they bring me in certain selling situations. So I get a chance to talk to sales leaders that have sales forces of several thousand people, and all the way down to sales leaders that have 10 or 20 people in sales organization. And I'm consistently hearing a couple things. And to me, there are very similar needs. One is, how do I motivate my sales force to make sales calls during this difficult recession that we're having?
Okay.
Here is, how can I turn my farmers into hunters? And there's categorizing salespeople to those that call on current accounts and farm the business there versus those hunt for new accounts or hunt for additional business inside current accounts. So that's the category, farmer hunter.
Okay.
I think the two questions are very similar. They're symptoms, I guess, of a greater problem. Quick story. I have a friend that I know belongs to the same country club that I belong to, and he sells heavy equipment, things that move large quantities of dirt and things that use in farming and in mining and construction.
Okay.
I've been seeing him on the go often lately, and I've asked him, you used to travel a lot. Why don't you travel so much anymore? He says, well, nobody's buying, so I'm not making sales calls right now.
Oh.
Here's been that's been convinced, probably by hearing this over and over again, that we're not buying, that nobody's buying. So I think he's probably playing golf five times a week now, and he used to play on weekends. Now he's playing all the time, and he's just decided to shut down and not make calls. Well, does he have a chance of success today? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Indicative of a lot of things that have been happening. Sales have been beat down by saying, we're not buying, or orders getting canceled. And so it's harder to motivate them to make calls than in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Same is true with the farmer-hunter thing. The farmers are more reactive. You know, they respond to demand that exists. And hunters are more proactive. They go out and try to create demand products.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where this heavy equipment salesperson has fallen into a trap. He's responding to demand. That's been his way of operating for so many years. And he's never created demand. He's never found opportunities or helped customers understand why an upgrade to their current equipment would be a good move for them to make. Even though we're in a recession, when you're in a recession, you need more productivity. You need
something
that breaks down less and operates more efficiently and effectively. Mm-hmm. But he's never been able to find a way to justify his sales other than responding to bids or needs that customers know they have. He's not created a need.
Yeah.
That's a problem. Another quick one, Nate. Anytime I conduct a training workshop, I always ask this question. I ask salespeople, is selling today more or less difficult than it has been in the past?
Okay.
And the answer that they obviously is, it's far more difficult. But you know, I've been asking that question for 20 years. And every time I ask it, I've gotten the same answer. It's more difficult. So what we're experiencing today is maybe just an acceleration of that, but it's been going on for a long, long time. And all of us as sellers need to shift from being the kind of people that satisfy demand to the kind of people that create demand. And the way we do that is with a sales process that allows us to be consult to the customer and asking questions that help us understand more deeply what their challenges are and then presenting our products as solutions to those challenges.
Yeah, and I guess I view the current economic situation, and I know we hear, because I hear in my business, people say that they are not buying. But now is the opportunity to work with the customer to understand their need, because it's during these economically challenging times that the needs are starting to become self-evident. And so customers are now discovering needs that they didn't know that they had before. And if you're there with the customer and you're working with them and being a true consultant with them, you're able to help them identify and understand these needs, which I guess I can't help but see would be to better position you after the recession is over to come back and then maybe be able to sell that product or service to help them with the need that they're now aware of.
Exactly. The need to be more professional at selling is greater today than it's ever been.
Yeah.
And there's only there's two components to selling. You know, you have to do a quantity of sales calls, and mm-hmm. you have to do in a quality way. So if there aren't as many prospects out there today, so the quantity is less, to mm-hmm. have high quality in the work we do is even that much greater.
Okay.
You want to make sales with fewer prospects, you have to step it up in terms of doing the best possible work every time you do it. And that's what our action selling on 9X of the sale help us do, is improve the quality of the work that we do.
Okay. And on that same line, there was one aspect that I really particularly appreciated about the action selling method, and that was Act 9, where you've embedded in the method a self-assessment for continuous improvement. And I was wondering, I saw in the books where the self-assessment was performed on an individual basis. My question was, do organizations then seek to capture those lessons learned that an individual gains and then share them more broadly with the entire sales force so there's broader benefit gained from those learnings? And if they do, what does that typically look like?
A very good question, Ethan. What I'm finding in the sales world today is selling is becoming more of a team sport than an individual sport,
uh-huh.
where more people in each organization get involved in the sales process than ever before. A quick example, one of my clients is a company called Wesco Distribution. They're formerly the Westinghouse.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Westinghouse. And a very large company, billion-dollar organization, multi-billion-dollar organization. And when they implemented action selling, it was implemented from the top down. The CEO, all of the vice presidents, were all participating in the sales development process.
Mm-hmm.
And even today, 15 years later, the CEO of that company, he gets involved in sales calls. He is talking the language. He understands the language of selling. He understands the language of action selling. And he participates in key sales calls, and he perfectly fits with a salesperson because he has the same strategy employed that everybody else. So what I am seeing today in sales organizations is more of a top-down approach to understanding the sales process and having a consistent method
mm-hmm.
for conducting sales calls. So everybody, regardless of what they work in, they can assist on a sales call. It's become a team sport.
Okay.
And everyone learns the system, the action selling system. It's more of a, the CEO of Wesco calls it, it's the lean management system for selling. So
mm-hmm.
lean is big in processes. Well, when selling becomes a process, the quality of it has an opportunity to continually improve. And that's the approach that they're taking, is that selling is something that is a quality process, and having a system in place that can for continuous improvement is what makes sense. Now, we have that for individual salespeople,
mm-hmm.
but now it's being applied to an entire organization, and everybody can get better and better and better at the process because of the what you call Act 9, review
yeah.
the sales call.
Mm-hmm.
We're
mm-hmm.
all doing that together as a team today.
Okay. Okay. Duane, I had another question, and this comes from your companion book, which was titled Action Selling, How to Sell Like a Professional, Even If You Think You Are One. And in Action Selling, you briefly mentioned that you can use the action selling method as a management practice. I was wondering if you could describe how action selling can be used within the organization, and if it needs to be used on only or is limited to only one-on-one interactions, or if it can be used in group settings, such as in a larger scale change management effort.
Okay. Obviously, the selling process needs to occur no matter whether you're working with one person or with multiples.
Mm-hmm.
Selling is going on all around us all the time. I mean, even in our home life, you know, the husband sells the wife and the wife sells the husband and the children sell the parents and the parents sell the children.
Uh-huh.
In the business world, you know, managers sell their subordinates and their subordinates sell management. I mean, it's going on all around us. Selling is any time a communication occurs where the end result is a commitment. So
mm-hmm.
if we want a commitment from our employees on a project or something that we want to incorporate as a change initiative, there's a commitment that needs to be gained. So it is a sales process. And what we found in selling is that if we involve the customer, in this case it would be employees,
mm-hmm.
in understanding and developing the needs, the case for change, we'll have more buy-in and a stronger opportunity to implement something that works. Whether it's one-on-one, if you're having a one-on-one interaction with an employee,
mm-hmm.
you need to make a recommendation for a change. You're far better off if you ask them questions first to help everybody get on the same page with what the needs are, what the situation is.
Okay.
Then you make a recommendation, it becomes solution. Okay. If it's
okay.
something that we just, a one-way communication where we're telling somebody what they need to do,
mm-hmm.
Buy-in is far less and the chance of success is diminished. In
okay.
one-on-one settings, even if I was talking to 200 people, I would ask some questions. You know, by show of
okay.
hands, how many have experienced this? Or I would single somebody out that raised their hand. What are the consequences when that happens? So get them involved in understanding the situation, putting them in the right spot, having some agreement on or consensus on what's occurring.
Sure.
And when recommendation comes, is presented, we have a far better chance that it's going to meet the needs of the people that are involved in the change process or the project.
Okay.
So it's used in both individual and in group settings. Yes, it's used, and even though our product might be assistance in a project or agreement on an initiative to make some change in the organization, we're far better off if we use a consultative sales process to gain commitment from people that way.
Okay. And it sounds like we should seek that commitment up front, not when the project is already over and we're trying to roll it out.
Involvement is key. And,
yeah, because I see so much of the latter.
Gaining their agreement to be involved is what you do on the front end. And gaining their input is
mm-hmm.
valuable. When people have a stake in it because you've asked them questions, because you've asked them to help you develop the strategy for it, you know, they are going to be far more bought in, and the implementation will be a breeze compared to things that are cooked up, you know, on the mountaintop and sent down the hill.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Duane, before we close, you have two websites. The first is www.actionselling.com, and the second is www.thesalesboard.com, both of which contain additional information regarding your book, Sales Strategy from the Inside Out, and Action Selling. Would you tell us a bit about these websites?
Well, the interesting thing is for a company to have two websites. I'll tell you the background on that. We're a big believer that when customers are looking for sales training programs like we sell, mm-hmm. they're probably going to take a look at what's available. And they usually will do a search. We know that from our experience that most times when somebody's searching for sales training, they're going to type in keywords, sales training, 50,000 times a month that occurs. So we mm-hmm. that's very, very, it's very often the way they look for sales training. So being one of the first sites to appear on those searches is very important. I think everybody understands the importance of that today.
Mm-hmm.
A few years ago, we set a goal of being in the top five of all searches for sales training. And with the salesboard.com website, we became, in the top five, consistently 1, 2, 3. So a lot of lead generation occurred because of that. Well, like many companies, we have a product that is more recognizable than our company name.
Okay.
Kleenex, and whoever owns Kleenex, I think it's Kimberly Clark or somebody like
mm-hmm.
that.
Yes.
Well, who should you be, Kleenex or Kimberly Clark? Well, in their case, it's Kleenex. In our case, we decided Action Selling is more recognizable, so we need to do promotion around that as well. And we had an Action Selling site where customers accessed that and used the tools that were available for learning on our Action Selling site. Well, we decided that maybe it'd be a good idea to have two sites that were highly ranked in the top five in searches. And by doing that, I'm sure that's a lot of work to have two sites that you maintain.
Oh, yeah.
And optimization projects that you've got going, but we felt that might make a lot of sense for us. So a couple years ago, we set out on a project to make both of those sites highly ranked. And today, searched on Google for sales training, Action Selling would be number 3, and the sales board would be number 4. So we
have
very ranking and very a lot of exposure that way. So 250,000 people a month are searching for sales training, and we're right up there where we need to be. Obviously, the sites they focus a lot of attention on how to conduct sales training and what does Action Selling have to offer.
Mm-hmm.
And you might be surprised, and most of the people that we talk to are surprised, but most sales training initiatives don't work.
Okay.
They don't result. And it's sad, but true. 90% mm-hmm. of sales training initiatives do not produce a positive result. So we've got a lot of folks out there that are in the business that we're in, and they're not doing what they need to do, help improve performance. So we've kind of exposed that. And so folks that visit our Action Selling site will see that, what does it take have an effective launch of a sales training initiative.
Mm-hmm.
There are 10% of my competitors, including myself, that are successful at doing that, and 90% that are unsuccessful. And we've identified five factors that lead to success in implementing a training initiative. So I encourage everybody to go to that site, actionselling.com, and take a look at what it takes to be successful improving the performance of your sales force.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you. Thank you. And Dwayne, I want to thank you not only for sharing your time with us today, but also your insights on Action Selling and the Action Selling method. I really enjoyed Sales Strategy from the Inside Out and your Action Selling books. But I think it's important for our listeners to understand that your books are set in a business novel format. And what was really powerful to me was the fact that you were able to put me in the minds of the various executives and managers as they went through the sales process. And it was extremely enlightening for me because again, I had this perception of sales as being done by someone who's very outgoing and not method based. And through your books, you not only showed me that there was a method, but then you helped me to understand the thought process that the people, not just doing the selling, were going through, but the people that were doing the buying, what they were going through. And I came away with a very deep appreciation, not just for the sales method and the action selling process, but I came away with a deeper understanding of even how I make decisions, particularly as they relate to the buying process. So I really, really benefited greatly from your books. I'm going to encourage our listeners to go out and pick up copies of them for themselves, and we're going to put links on our website to help them get directed to do just that, and also to both of your websites, actionselling.com and thesalesboard.com. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Nathan. I've enjoyed speaking with you and hope that I've helped somebody out there turn their selling into a profession of action selling.
And I know you have. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed this special edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast. I would personally like to thank Dwayne Sparks for being with us today and sharing his insights on action selling. As always, we would appreciate receiving your feedback by email at podcast@strategydriven.com. If you enjoyed the show, please consider voting for us on Podcast Alley and visiting our website at www.strategydriven.com. You can find more information about Dwayne Sparks and Sales Strategy from the Inside Out at www.actionselling.com and www.thesalesboard.com. Until next time, so long.